Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police in Boulder, Colorado say an Egyptian national in the U.S. on an expired visa is under arrest after he allegedly lobbed Molotov cocktails into a crowd of demonstrators honoring Israeli hostages in Gaza.
I'm horrified. I mean, I live 5 minutes away, and the fact that this is happening to Jews in my local community makes me scared.
8 people were hurt, 1 critically. Ukraine says a drone attack on Russia took out more than a third of the country's strategic bombers. The BBC's Paul Adams.
What Ukraine did yesterday was to show that even though there is this still enormous numerical disadvantage between the Russian and Ukrainian forces, Ukraine still has cards to play.
Russia and Ukraine meet in Turkey today for peace talks. CBS's Elaine Cobb says a Polish politician backed by President Trump has been elected his country's next leader.
Brodsky is opposed to deepening European integration and cooperation, and he is opposed to Ukraine's NATO membership.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gas prices fell 7.1 cents over the last week for an average of $2.96 today. This is 1.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 36 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say while the rest of the nation has seen a gentle descent in prices, the Great Lakes region has seen notable declines after a minor refinery issue was resolved. Gasoline inventories are somewhat tight heading into summer. However, increased refinery output should help to bring future price declines. Officials did warn that unexpected outages could still cause short-term price bumps. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.87 to $2.93 per gallon. It's Pride Month, and the Pride flag is now flying at the state capitol. Savannah Tolmay Olson takes us to the flag-raising ceremony.
This is the seventh year the Pride flag has flown at the state capitol. Governor Tony Evers got emotional during the flag-raising ceremony.
They pretended trans and queer folks weren't there at Stonewall in June of 69. I'll be with you in a minute. They told trans folks and veterans willing to fight and die for our freedom and theirs that their patriotism is not wanted and never mattered.
The Pride flag has flown at the state capitol every June since 2019. Meanwhile, some Republicans have written a bill that would end that tradition. If passed, government buildings and schools would only be allowed to fly the American flag and the Wisconsin flag. The bill's author, Representative Jerry O'Connell from Fond du Lac, says it would, quote, lower divisiveness, end quote. The bill was introduced in the Assembly, and it's currently in the Rules Committee. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Christian Yelich injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers play the Reds tonight in Cincinnati, but slugger Christian Yelich will be out after he was hit with a pitch in the Brewers' 5-2 win over the Phillies yesterday on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Ooh, that get him in the hand. Home plate umpires awarding him first base, and it's a hit-by-pitch. And
that one a little bit too far in on Yelich.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
He's real sore. You know, he couldn't squeeze the bat, so it'll be day-to-day things. Not broken, thank God. I hate it for him that he's got to take a day off, but probably will be out.
X-rays did not show any broken bones. College football, the Badgers with over a dozen prospects on campus over the weekend. Three of the players agreeing to commit, including a 6'3" linebacker, Ben Wenzel, out of Appleton North High School.
Bigger is not always what wins. It's physicality as well. The bigger you are, the more you can hold up. But we still got to continue to train and understand what physicality really looks like.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More of that smoky haze in the sky today, otherwise partly cloudy and warm with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with temperatures dropping into the low to mid-60s. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain. Highs tomorrow in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity. especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, America's credit has been downgraded. What does that mean for Wisconsinites? Hour number two, we go beyond the cheese. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It's a Monday morning, June 2nd, 2025. Yeah, we flipped the page on the calendar. If you missed it, welcome. Happy June. June Dairy Month, Pride Month, summer's here. You can tell. Because of all the smoke, Canada is on fire again. So that fits into part of today's weather outlook as well. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is with us. Selena Heller here as well. Brittany Merlot a little bit under the weather here. But we do.
She's under the weather.
Oh.
That's funny.
That was way more funny than that deserved to be. But yes, sunny, breezy, and hot was what she put down for us. Mainly mid-80s, pushing 90 today with a south-southwest wind at 10 to 20. Increasing clouds and mild tonight. A good chance of showers late in the northwestern half of the state. Low to mid-60s tonight with a southwest wind around 10. I don't know if anybody saw much for Northern Lights last night. We were supposed to get some kind of a big Northern Lights show, but again, that Canadian wildfire smoke, I mean, it is really pronounced. I mean, especially with that setting sun, it was such an easy-to-see big old round ball because the smoke was just so thick. You could just tell we flew in last night. As soon as we got off the plane, we just you could smell it, you know, in the air out there, Selena.
Yes, we were looking at that sun the other. I said, Emery, don't quit looking. And she's like, well, you can really see it because it was just this bright orange. I'm like, well, just okay, stop looking at it. That was last night. It was so orange.
I can't stop looking.
Yeah.
It does. It does have kind of a Star Wars, you know, feel to it, like you're seeing the suns up in the sky there. But that also, by the way, the serious note of that is if you or somebody you love has any respiratory issues, it's not good out there. Keep the windows closed, put the AC on, and take care of yourself. Good morning from Tigerton. Rob writes, smoky skies and 56 degrees. I had 3 mowing jobs over the weekend. I did my weekend volunteering job watering the flowers for Tigerton Main Street. He says, Tigerton is the smallest community on the Wisconsin Main Street program, which is really neat. He says, this week road work got underway along Highway 29 in Western Marathon County. We appreciate all of the updates there on the road work. There's a lot of it going on. 53 here up in Chippewa County. A lot of work taking place up there. And so everybody just, use caution when you're out there on the roadways. Selena, hold. I'm going to talk to you about what Senator Baldwin did in the Chippewa Valley here recently. And you also did a story for our counterparts in Iowa from Courier Newsroom about we were just talking about misinformation from Robert Kennedy Jr. Well, some of the information that they have to take in classes in Iowa are based on false information that Dr. Lyerly knows all about. So we're going to talk to both Kristen and Selena about these things. But first, I almost forgot, it's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest done statewide across the network. 4 times a day, you can win either $100 cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. each entry gives you a chance at one of the grand prizes. That would be a Wisconsin vacation in Baraboo at the Ringling House Bed and Breakfast, or the Door County White Lace Inn with some gas money to get you there. Now, each time we do this, there's a different keyword that you need to text to us through the Civic Media app before the end of each hour. So if you don't have the app, go download it in the usual places like Apple or Google. Go to one of the stations on the app and use the text button to send us the keyword. So this hour, the prize is $100, and the keyword to text us is new, N-E-W. So just get over to the Civic Media app, text the word new, be in the running for this hour's prize of $100. And again, every entry puts you in the running for one of the grand prizes, a Wisconsin Dells vacation in Baraboo at the Ringling House Bed and Breakfast, or the Door County White Lace Inn, a little gas money to get there. So again, text new, N-E-W. And finally, Rob concludes from Tiger Den, "I hope my Civic Media people all have a super day. I'm really hooked on Civic Media for all the latest news and information." We appreciate that so much. Let's start, Celine, if you don't mind, with the story out of Iowa while we've got Kristen here. The headline out of Iowa Starting Line is, "Iowa students will have to watch an inaccurate video thanks to Republican lawmakers." The lead here that Selena writes, "A pregnancy education bill is awaiting Governor Kim Reynolds' signature. If signed, it will require students in grades 5 to 12 to view a fetal development video as part of their human growth and development instruction. And the law prohibits any educational material created by medical institutions like the Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins, the University of Iowa Hospital and Clinics, and along with organizations like Planned Parenthood." I mean, that's just for starters of what's all in this bill, Sally. So what is this about the inaccurate video that comes with this law?
So it doesn't name a specific video, but it's modeled after a video. It's called Meet Baby Olivia, which was produced by an anti-abortion group. So that's kind of where it stems from. And this video is kind of out in a lot of places. But it misrepresents gestational age, makes false claims about viability, and uses narration that kind of emotionally manipulates the viewers. And so people say, you know, don't use the kids as kind of political pawns. So that's the kind of whole idea. So it could go into effect July 1st if it is signed, so next school year.
How does that work out, Dr. Lyerly, when students are watching development or human development videos that are not accurate?
This is already a law in North Dakota and I think Tennessee. These are cartoons that show this very watered down, perfect version. It's a fantasy version of what life in the womb might be like. There are no abruptions in there. There are no amniotic bands. There are no fibroids. The placenta is normal. Like this, it's so wrong and it's so inaccurate. And the fact that they won't allow real evidence and information from the University of Iowa, that is your flagship university. Let those people create your human growth and development video. Don't use propaganda. Again, propaganda from an outside group with an agenda intended to control and manipulate young people.
It's just, it is, again, Orwellian almost, how the instruction refers to human development rather than fetal development. It's called a womb instead of a uterus. There is a high-quality rendering animation or image that depicts the humanity of the unborn child. In other words, again, you know, not looking like a real medical condition, but like you said, cartoonish is essentially what this is.
Fetuses aren't little humans that are, they're different. They're evolving, they're growing, and lots of things happen inside the womb, inside the uterus, that are not represented here. So this is fictional, it is inaccurate, and people base their healthcare decisions on this kind of information. It's wrong.
And
this is wrong.
Selena, you quote Maisie Stilwell, Director of Public Affairs for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Iowa, that calls it despicable and shameless. Our students deserve to be taught curriculum that is bound in facts. so that they're equipped with the necessary tools to make informed decisions about their lives and their futures.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they even kind of some things went to doctors and said, you know, specifically, what is wrong with this? And so they even have that information, just specifically what is wrong about this. And still it has proceeded. So
they don't actually care, because I don't know if you heard what Joni Ernst said over the weekend, but we're all going to die. So yeah.
Why
does
double down on it?
Happening? Yes. What is happening in Iowa with these women who are leaders, their governor, their U.S. senator, who are just completely discounting the lives of Iowans, selling them this bill of goods that is based in fantasy, not facts, and not at all providing for the health and well-being of Iowans. And when the physicians and regular people try to push back, they're completely sidelined. I just don't get it.
They're honestly people who deserve to be run out of office. I mean, there should be such an outcry that essentially demands their resignation for such inaccuracies and for literally politicizing healthcare. And that's how you get to decisions like kicking people off of Medicaid, how you get people like, again, Congressman Derek Van Orden saying the other day that, you know, people are lying if they say that people are going to have their Medicaid benefits cut. Let's again make clear, Congressman Van Orden and everybody else, you show us all of the fraud and abuse. Don't just say it. Don't just say there's fraud and abuse. Don't just say that there's undocumented immigrants. Get it. Prove it. DOGE cuts. Again, prove it. Prove it. Waste, fraud, and abuse are illegal. Fraud is illegal. Show me the charges. And then we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But right now, this is all propaganda. This is all lies. And it's all going to be called out so that folks next year and in every election beyond look past the political ads and the talking points and deal with who is dealing with fact and who is dealing with fiction. And that's what we have to put up with here, Selena.
So I was in Iowa on Monday, and I shot a story in Iowa and talking about waste, fraud, and abuse. And that's kind of the key term from the state auditor in Iowa about the school voucher program, because the state voucher program cannot be audited in the state of Iowa. And so I was in Iowa in front of a private school talking about this, and I was looking around and I thought, oh gosh, I hope I don't get in trouble here because I'm talking about this program that does not... They made it so the auditor cannot audit voucher program and the eligibility now for this next school year to participate in the voucher program is lifted. So anybody can get.
Go ahead, Krista.
And that's the next level, that you're standing in front of a school trying to tell a story about how people are being duped, and you're afraid to tell the story because you're going to get in trouble.
Whoa.
So it's the lies, it's the fear, it's the division. Like, enough already. We've got to have the courage as people, as humans, to come together and stand up for what is right and what is true.
And I'm just going to say the lead part again, because we made that transition from, you know, human growth and development to Medicaid to this story that I was editing of yours, Selena, on the drive home yesterday, that the voucher school program, again, in Iowa, was specifically written so that the state auditor could not audit the use of tax dollars for the voucher program. Why did they do that? Because the state auditor is a Democrat, the only Democratic state official. Is the auditor, the watchdog of taxpayer dollars. And Republicans specifically wrote the voucher law so that millions upon millions upon millions of tax dollars could go there for teachers. How did you put it? They could use it for like a vacation. They could send a teacher to Paris for
Europe, you know, leather furniture, he said, they could put in the teacher's lounge. Nobody knows
because the state auditor isn't allowed to audit it. That's where we are. Again, this should be, if this went the other way, I mean, there would be torches and pitchforks out there if Democrats wrote a law like this that the one Republican auditor couldn't audit it. This is where we are at this point, and it needs to be called out relentlessly, and that's why you're hearing us be so relentless about it. On the other side of the break, Selena Heller's back with us on many of these Civic Media Radio Network stations to talk about Senator Tammy Baldwin and a recent event and a local dairy farmer advocating speaking out for yourself in this day and age. You got to. In this day and age, the way things are going. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, and more. From the first touchdown to the fifth quarter, game days in Madison are packed with excitement, tradition, and unforgettable memories. Seats and tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action next season. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seat today. Wisconsin football game day starts here, and we'll see you at Camp Randall.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello and welcome everyone to WFHR's Rapids Report. We have your host James J. Mailoff here, welcoming into the studio some of our favorite people to talk to. We have the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center in with us today, and it is Kayla, visitation specialist, hanging out with me. Kayla, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good, and appreciate you joining us. As always, like to remind the audience remind you guys how much we appreciate you and the great work that you're doing in our community, the vital, important work that is going on at the Family Center every single day. We greatly appreciate you, and certainly appreciate you being able to make the time, hang out with me, answer my silly questions, and all of that. Appreciate you, and thanks for being here, Kayla.
Thank you,
Kayla's playing hurt too, by the way, everybody. So I mean, all the more reason we really appreciate you being here. I want to talk about some of the events coming up this summer and the excitement we have about them, and get into that in just a little bit, if you don't mind, Kayla. But before we do, we were kind of talking in our pregame. We don't get a chance to hang out very often, and I thought it'd be a good idea to get into your job a little bit and what a visitation specialist is. First off, I think that's a very cool sounding title. I just put that out there. I think it's a great sound. But it's in all seriousness, it is one of the more integral jobs that goes on at the Family Center. And we certainly we respect privacies and all these things, so we're not going to get too in detailed here. But I was curious, and I know the audience would be, about, you know, what you do and how you spend a day in the life of Kayla in this job.
Yes, thank you for having me. And yes, I am battling allergies a bit, so bear with me.
I was trying to talk for you.
I appreciate that. So in my role, I oversee the visitation center that we have at the Family Center. So in my role, I oversee the visitation center, which is within the Family Center. Mm-hmm. We get referrals for families that need supervised visitation or exchanges, and I coordinate the setting up of those services, and getting those on our calendar, and then also the communication between the parties that may have referred, so the court system, probation and parole, et cetera. And then I also oversee the visits and exchanges that take place.
Certainly, as we can imagine, a lot of gray area in there as far as, you know, working with people and all the different things that might come up with that and everything. But I really do appreciate the look behind the curtain, mm-hmm. if you will, at this job and what mm-hmm. that does. And when I say integral and vital, you really hit it on the head and brought that attention to that and why that is. when it comes to the difficulty as an interviewer, my next question is supposed to be, what is the most difficult part of the job? I think that, again, as an audience, we can understand that there's no easy part of the job. But is there a good feeling that comes from this? Do you have those good moments? Do you have those moments where you're able to be, you know, appreciative and enjoy the job, if you will, for lack of a better word?
Sure. Every day, being able to support children and the families and maintain that contact is very fulfilling. And that's why we have the center, is to be able to maintain and hopefully strengthen that family connection.
I appreciate that, Kayla, and I admit that I may have known the answer was coming, but I you know, in all honesty, when I talk to people about volunteering in this community and doing things, one of the times, one of the little things that can come up, and it doesn't come up that often, but with the Family Center is, well, you know, it's a very heavy topic, and I think that people kind of go into it with that mindset that it is there is almost a cloud over it or something like that, and it couldn't be farther from the truth. In fact, I would say the Family Center is one of the more positive, strong energies of any building I've been in Wisconsin Rapids. And certainly the events are very much the same. And it's always great whenever I have one of you guys on the air with me and stuff to be able to kind of remind everybody of that, that there's a reward that comes with this job that is unwordable. There's no really great way to – I put Kayla on the spot there, unfortunately. There's no way to really put into words what it feels like to do this kind of work, to have this kind of impact. It's why we encourage people to, when we have openings, you know, think about the Family Center and this career opportunity, along with, of course, volunteering, which every event we do, we could always use more hands on deck and more of the community involvement.
Absolutely. One of the best things you can give is your time. So even if you can't donate monetarily or with items, your time is incredibly valuable.
Mm-hmm. And I bring that up in part because we wanted to wrap up talking a little bit about some of the events going on at the mm-hmm. Family Center. And coming up in July 26th, the Touch a Truck event. Make sure to save the date for that. Another one of our favorite events to do. This is a great one. It brings attention and awareness to the cause and to what is going on over there and the work. We're able to raise funds oftentimes and certainly awareness for this. But we also love this event because of some of the things I was saying before. This is a fun, good energy event that people just love and come to. And even if you've never been to it before, you know what a Touch a Truck event is pretty well. And we have so many of our great community leaders and people involved with this one, Caleb. Do we have anybody written down already for this one?
Not that I have, but Amy has all of that information for you, and I'm sure that's coming, that she's going to be very excited to share all of that information with you. We also do have the Drive Against Violence coming up later on this summer. That is August 18th, and that is a golf event at Bullseye. Yeah.
You know, both of these events, the Touch a Truck event is such a great family event. And we encourage you to bring the kids down. They get to see fire trucks and you know, some of the, I know the Wood County Sheriff's Department loves being down there. I know Sean, he's going to want to be there. I don't want to speak for him, but I guarantee he's going to be down there. It means a lot to him, these events. So the kids, you know, you just never know, as a side story, you know, what might spark their interest and create a lifelong passion for one of these industries that we could always use people in, whether it's, you know, the fire department, or police department, or it's the Family Center itself. But the Drive Against the golf events, people show up. People love these things. This community just is such a big fan of golf and loves golfing. And when you bring in Bullseye Golf Club, one of our favorite places, and a big shout out to Bullseye and the great work they do. This is, again, another one of those events that, yes, the The theme of the event has a seriousness to it. The events themselves are everything that, that makes this community great. They bring in fellowship. They bring in people you don't get to see every day.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A new partnership between Microsoft and the National FFA, helping students become more comfortable with artificial intelligence. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. This new partnership is expanding Farm Beats for Students. That's a program that uses sensors and artificial intelligence to teach precision agriculture. 185 FFA chapters are going to get free classroom kits. Christine White is the chief program officer for the National FFA and says it's a big step forward in agriculture education.
So Farm Beats for Students is an opportunity for young people to get their hands on technology, understand AI, start to see how data plays a role within agriculture. So they have a system that allows them to use sensors to test things like moisture, light, pH, and be able to really diagnose what's happening in the soil or with a plant that they're working with.
Christine White, she is the chief program officer for the National FFA. She said their role in this partnership was to create a curriculum, and they piloted the program last year with students in four states. Now they'll be expanding Farm Beats for Students to all 50 states. Markets are next.
Veltima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel and block cheese both remained unchanged. AA butter gained 2 cents, $2.47.5 per pound. The June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese was up to $19.19. July up 8 at $19.62. Currently, July corn's unchanged. December new crop down a penny at $4.37. July soybeans are down a nickel. November new crop down 6 cents, $10.21. July wheat, currently 5.5 cents higher, $5.39 a bushel. Dow Jones Industrial Average, currently down more than 100 points. Just a quick market snapshot for you on a Monday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
More of that smoky haze in the sky today, otherwise partly cloudy and warm with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with temperatures dropping into the low to mid-60s. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain. Highs tomorrow in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm going to light it up State Street style because I'll be live from Madison. Joining me in studio will be Madison filmmaker Austin Galante and UW Cinematheque programmer Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back. It's 7:35. You can get our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. Today in our daily newsletter from Christina Lurie, the many ways Wisconsin has been a trailblazer in the equality movement as part of Pride Month for the LGBTQ community. And in our weekend newsletter, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow, our question of the week deals with the state budget. And folks who were in the Capitol last week making the case to Governor Tony Evers that if the state budget bill sent to him by Republicans doesn't meet a certain threshold of support for things like public education and natural resources and health care, that instead of trying to fix it with partial vetoes, he should just veto the whole thing and make the legislature start over. What's your point of view? Should the governor do that to make a statement? Should he just continue to use partial vetoes? Maybe you think whatever the Republican legislators will send to him will be the best thing and that he should just sign the bill without any partial vetoes. Anyway, that's in our weekly newsletter, and you can sign up for that as well. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner there. Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network a little bit later on the Todd Alba Show today, coming up at 2:30, State Senator Kelda Royce will be joining Todd. She's a member of the Joint Finance Committee. At 3 o'clock, Todd is joined by Tom Kircher, reporter with Wisconsin Watch. On the Maggie Dawn Show, starting at 4 o'clock, Matt Rothschild will be the guest co-host, and they will have Senator LaTanya Johnson, the other Democratic member of the Joint Finance Committee, the ranking member for the Senate there, coming on. Again, it looks to be in the 4 o'clock hour, coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network. We want to talk now a bit about what's happening in high school sports, and we'll get into some other areas as well, but especially this whole notion of NIL deals, name, image, license deals, and for that we bring in Civic Media's own sports director, Jimmy Koska. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Great to be here. I always love being on a show called Up North because that's home for me from the Chippewa Valley, born and raised. So I always appreciate coming on this program specifically.
Well, we love having you up north. So thank you very much for doing that. Let's see, ahead of name, image, license, let's just talk about high school sports overall in Wisconsin. It is June 2nd. Where are we in terms of spring sports? Are they wrapping up? Have they wrapped up?
We are into really the tail end of the season. The high school sports season has 3 weeks to go in the spring. So this week, I think the crown jewel of spring sports, in my opinion, is much like in winter, how it's individual wrestling in terms of just the sheer number of schools represented. State track is this week. So many schools can get individuals or relays into the state track event at UW La Crosse, which is a wonderful, wonderful venue for any sporting event, but particularly state track, where they've hosted this for a number of years. And you get to go and you get to see over 200 school communities represented in this event. To me, it's one of those uniquely cool things about high school sports in Wisconsin. I really enjoy covering these events. We still have softball, we still have baseball, we have soccer, there's golf, there's tennis. There's still a lot of other state events going on, but state track is so awesome to just be and see all the schools, baseball and softball, all these other events. They've got great facilities and great events too. So regardless, the next 3 weeks are going to be pretty fun for high school sports in Wisconsin.
It's rather infectious to hear you talk about it. It's just the all the participation, and again, it's a wide net. It's not like just a handful of powerhouse teams. You know, there's something for everybody in there.
Exactly. And even a community like the one I live in, small towns are getting, you know, I think just here in the town I live in, I think we have six athletes going, you know, but so many towns, maybe it's just one. You have one person who's doing really well in the high jump or something, and they go to state. You could still get an entire community rally around just a handful of student athletes, and I just think that's a really cool feature to whether it's wrestling, whether it's track, or any individual sport that gets to go to state. It is a really, really neat experience to see, you know, a whole town, you know, come out for maybe just a handful of kids. It's awesome.
That's great. And let's see, Tony mentions up on YouTube here, he says track meets are fun. He also says back in 1902, Pat won the 125 weight class in wrestling. Everyone forgets about that. 1902 probably was the last time I weighed 125 pounds, now that I think about it here. Jimmy, let's turn then to the policies that surround high school sports and these NIL deals, name, image, licensing, which is that just a fancy way of saying endorsement deals?
So in Wisconsin, name, image, and likeness was part of a package of four policies that were put in the WIAA Constitution for this year. I think it's the one getting the most attention because of how it's affected college sports, right? In college, it has really turned things on its head to the point where, you know, even in the last couple of weeks, we've seen lawsuits and legislation and all kinds of things come out about name, image, likeness, you know, equality between and inequality, really, between the power programs and the other programs. There's a lot of things happening in college sports as a result of name, image, and likeness that I think for a lot of people, especially people who are a little more traditionalist in the sense of amateur athletics, are not too happy about where things have gone and how it's really upended conference alignments and things like that. But here's the good news for those of you who are following high school sports and wondering, is name, image, likeness going to affect high school sports the same way it has college? And the short answer is no. And I'm saying that because, first of all, not, you know, Wisconsin was one of the last states to even get NIL. I think there's only maybe seven or eight states left that don't have it. And the fact that we got it done through our state association and our school membership, that's a big win for us because in places where this hasn't gone in yet, it's been left up to state legislatures, and having politics at that level involved in high school athletics can really be a negative because then there's no control over the school memberships and state associations to deal with the issues that they have in front of them. In high school NIL, things are much more restrictive than they are in college NIL. So you're not going to see the average student athlete in high school, you know, getting a car dealership endorsement and rolling around in a, you know, $80,000 car or anything like that. You're just not going to see that happen at large. You know, maybe it happens for a couple of kids, which is great for them, but it's not happening for every kid in the state. There's a lot of guardrails to how it's done in Wisconsin, Pat, and I think that is one of the reasons why it passed this time after failing a year ago.
What would a typical NIL deal look like? Not necessarily for the star of the football team, but, you know, maybe there's somebody else. Are they essentially just now doing endorsements for a local sporting goods store or something like that?
One of the reasons why in Wisconsin I don't see this affecting nearly as much as, you know, as it has in college is that the guardrails the WIAA membership put in place are going to really restrict who can do this. So there's two different big restrictions on this, in addition to not being able to represent, you know, your school, your conference, the WIAA, in any kind of NIL deal. So you can't just put on your jersey and go say, hey, I'm the quarterback for XYZ high school. You can't do that. But there are two really big restrictions on where the money comes from. And one of those restrictions is on the who can do that. And that is that if you're a coach, if you're a staff member, if you're a parent of another student athlete in a school, you know, the it sounds really obvious, but you're not allowed to contribute to NIL deals. If you're a coach or a former coach of a student athlete or a program in that school, you can't act as an agent. High school student athletes can't sign agents and find deals that way. But the other one, and I think this is the big one, is that if you're a business organization, you're an employee at these places that has contributed to maybe a school's booster fund, you've donated to a school program before, anything like that, any kind of contribution. And you know, Pat, in small towns, how businesses show up to support their student athletes in their communities, you know how they support those things. Those businesses, organizations, and the employees of those places, they are not allowed to contribute to NIL deals. So it really restricts the pool of potential name, image, and likeness endorsements. It's really limited to people that have never contributed to a school program before. And again, when you're talking about a lot of places in Wisconsin, whether it's a college town, whether it's a small farm town, pretty much every business has had a hand in something, whether it's donating $100 to put up a scoreboard or, you know, support the annual fundraiser for each team.
But with all those restrictions, I feel like I have to come back to my root question, which is, so what would an ideal NIL deal look like if all the usual suspects can't be part of it? If you can't wear your team's uniform or in a, you know, in any other way, I mean, now you're left with the high school, you know, volleyball player just in jeans and a t-shirt doing a deal for somebody that's never done a deal with their local high school teams before. Does that almost sound too restrictive? Like, what kind of an NIL deal do you even get out of something like that?
There's a couple of things. One is that you can use it to promote maybe an event you're part of in town, like if there's a local event or something. As long as you're not promoting something that's, without listing 50 things, mm-hmm. adult-oriented, so you can't be endorsing, like, alcohol, right, as a high school sure. student-athlete. Things like that, you know, events like that, you put your name on something that doesn't, you know, touch any of those areas, that's probably fine. You know, there's a whole list of rules and regulations for a big FAQ on it. The other one is, I think the big one is that there's going to be, it's going to sound like a big word, but NIL collective. So these are going to be groups of you know, and the WIAA has an official one for this, where they do go out and find certain deals for student athletes to endorse mm-hmm. And help build their brand and marketing. So there are going to be pools of organizations and businesses that will get to do this. And then obviously the businesses that aren't already supporting high school athletics or high school programs in general, those will be one too. An NIL deal would, I think it would look like a normal endorsement deal. I mean, I there's only been, I think, two reported contracts so far, and one of them was literally just endorsing certain events held in their town. So I think that's where it's going to probably look like. It's not going to look like these big mega deals where a student athlete on a college roster is worth, you know, $4.6 million in endorsements or whatever. It's just not going to be that way for high school kids, because there's a lot more high school student athletes and there's a lot more communities, and there's not quite that big well of financial support to draw from.
Well, I'm looking at this New York Times headline from last week. Can this 14-year-old football star become a high school millionaire? And the story begins, Brittany Coleman's son, Caden, had just turned 10 when youth football coaches started pressing envelopes with thousands of dollars into her hand. They wanted Caden to play for their club team in Maryland or New Jersey or other states, and she always refused because those payments aren't allowed. But now, because of new NIL deals, students as young as middle school could go on. This is, though, so the exception rather than what NIL deals are going to look like, you're saying.
Yeah, and it's going to really affect a very small handful of high school student athletes in Wisconsin. And we've seen it because, like I said, Wisconsin's one of the last states to get NIL. It's that way in a lot of the other states. There are very few states where it's wide open NIL. I think it's like two or three. And even those, after they started, they were kind of the first ones in it. Even after they started, they really started restricting it, much like Wisconsin has. Wisconsin's isn't even the most restrictive, according to the people who are putting together the policy discussions. It is pretty restrictive, but you're just not going to see that. And to that point, if you're, it's specifically banned that if you're trying to recruit a student athlete or keep them at a school, whether you're moving or keeping them, if you're recruiting a student athlete, that's banned. And by banned, it just means that student athlete risks becoming ineligible if they do accept those kind of deals for that reason.
Tell you what, though, you mentioned the one word in all of that that scares me, and that's the legislature. If the legislature now, if they know they could have this to start with, Lord only knows how they could interfere one way or another and make things even worse here. Jimmy Koska is with us, and we'll talk about that Brewers 7-game win streak, sweeping the Phils in Philadelphia. It's break up the Brewers. That's it. I mean, World Series inevitable, right? Okay, no, they got the rest of the season to play. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958.
Take yourself out to the ballgame at a historic winter field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafter Baseball and Anything But Travis Kelce Night. On June 7th, Anyone But Kelce Night is a celebration of your favorite pop star and your least favorite tight end. Travis Kelce and the number 87 are banned from winter field for the night. So trade in your Travis Kelce jersey for a new Rafters jersey and celebrate Taylor, as she can do no wrong. So take yourself out to the ballgame at historic winter field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafter Baseball and Anything But Travis Kelce Night.
Get to Family Natural Foods to hear Terry Lemerand, a 50-year veteran of natural health, talk about his favorite natural medicines. Also, get the biggest discount ever on all Terry Naturally supplements, after the event only. The lecture will be at First Baptist Church, 910 McKinley Street, right behind Family Natural Foods, June 25th at 5:15 p.m. Free meet and greet to follow with light snacks and drinks after the event. Family Natural Foods, your neighborhood pharmacy. Join them June 25th.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Wanted to take a moment to talk about Senate Bill 204 with you. This is a bipartisan legislation that is attempting to encourage more video game production companies to locate in Wisconsin. I find this very encouraging and very interesting, sir, and I want you to dive into it. But I mentioned Matt Lippert before. It wasn't until really talking with him and some of our UW Extension people that I understood how hand-in-hand our ag industry and our tech world are. I really was late to the party on this one and understanding how much the two worlds not only work together but need each other. And we certainly have seen our state being hit hard, whether it's, you know, not getting enough snow up north, so our people up north have more resources and more, you know, can make more sale that way, or just looking at, you know, other ways to and other avenues to bring people to our state and to create more economy in our state. One of the most biggest growing industries in our whole lifetimes, no matter what age we are and you are out there, is the video game industry. It's, you know, you look at things and look at stock or things that you can count on. It's crazy to think that fantasy sports, some of these things that we would have never guessed as kids, are very you know, important to economies. A bill like this seems to have a lot of legs.
Yeah, so this is one of the cool parts of my job, and I've got to do a shameless plug here because, you know, I've played video games my entire life. I still do when I get, you know, a moment of free time to kind of unwind and play some Madden or you know, Call of Duty, you name it. But turns out that actually Wisconsin is becoming a hub for video game production, and I had no idea until I was approached. So, for instance, we've got a number of studios here in the state, like Raven Studios, who make a lot of very well-known and widely popular games. Because the issue is many of these developers that are currently housed in places like California are looking to get out of California and come to states like Wisconsin. And so this would actually incentivize more of these developers to set up shop here by providing them tax credits. And so, you know, when we talk about what we can do to market Wisconsin to be more competitive, it's things like this that do just that, trying to attract more businesses to come into the state, which means they bring in more people, families relocate here, they set up shop, and this is how we expand our tax base. And at the same time, this is an industry that has seen tremendous growth over the last 20, 30 years. I mean, you think about how far we've come from the days of, you know, playing, you know, basic Nintendo now, you know, you've got virtual reality games. And so I'm actually really excited about this because Raven Studios, they have a facility in Middleton that I'm going to be taking a tour of. And I know my co-author and the assembly representative, Nate Gustafson, took this about a year ago and absolutely raved about it, how cool it was, because they immerse you in, you know, the whole body imaging and, you know, the animatronics and everything else that goes along with that. So I'm really excited to see just some of the technology that goes into this because it's super high tech. And you talked about some of the tie-in with, you know, the egg industry. It's pretty remarkable. I met with an organization just about 2 weeks ago now that are using virtual reality to basically help upskill individuals within our correction system. So, you know, as they get ready for their earned release, they have some knowledgeable skills and useful tools that they can take with them to apply to the real world and cut down on recidivism rates. So just goes to show that, you know, you may think of video games as a leisure, but in practicality, it's actually being used to upskill and train people and give them skills that they can apply in the real world and hopefully get good paying jobs as a result of it.
Yeah, I think the idea of what video games are and were, it's growing and changing all the time. Just between you and I, sir, is this the real reason you got into politics? Just to do the video game thing. I won't tell anybody. I wouldn't blame you. And I'm with you. If you haven't played the new NCAA college football game, it's amazing. It's amazing. I can't get over how great it is. And this is good for a lot of the reasons, not only that you mentioned there, but as we and other states certainly are looking to bring people to our state. One of the things, and I don't have a ton of people that I know in Silicon Valley, but my time in California, I ran into and know a couple of friends that I still talk to. And one of the more consistent things they're talking about is what you said earlier, people wanting to get out of the valley and wanting, they have this skill set. So they want to use it. They want to work in the tech industry, but they want a rural life. They want a more, you know, just down home kind of life. And they want the best of both worlds, essentially, is the way that it's been told to me. Wisconsin offers that. Wisconsin that offers that all over the state. Doing this is not only a win-win for our state and our economy and the jobs it can create, but also the opportunities that I think it can create in the industry. Because the other thing I hear is, you know, they're spending time in California, so you see a lot of games that have a lot of California base or, you know, intentions and stuff. The Midwest is gigantic in the video game industry. It only makes sense to be making more games here and more games along those lines of things that you know are going to bring people to the through their councils and stuff, and I think that the go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean that's a perfect tie-in too, and the reason why we've got a bill that was just released on Monday that deals with talent attraction grants through an organization called Make My Move that would provide grants through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to provide to communities, nonprofits, and other and tribal organizations to really create plans to then go out and attract professionals to their communities. And so, you know, again, this is about doing what we can to best position ourselves to attract new opportunities, new people, new companies in the state of Wisconsin. And so this approach has been used in other states, this organization. So essentially they create these plans with the end goal of having new construction, having new families move in, and it provides communities who are oftentimes cash strapped because everyone's budgets are tight right now. And so this this one-time investment, you know, we're hoping to get it incorporated into the state budget as the standalone bill works its way through the process. And if it's successful, then that gives us a perfect roadmap and a marker to build upon moving forward. Because I've said this countless times, is that the way I view it, we are in competition with 49 other states. And I think one of our biggest struggles in Wisconsin, and I think the Midwest in particular, is that we're Midwesternites. We're too humble. We don't like to be braggadocious.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The FBI says agents are sweeping the Colorado home of an Egyptian national with an expired visa after he was arrested for allegedly lobbing Molotov cocktails into demonstrators honoring Israeli hostages in Gaza. CBS's Jason Allen from Boulder.
The online booking information here in the county for the suspect shows that he has been charged with first-degree murder with extreme indifference, although authorities have not officially announced any deaths yet from this attack.
Health officials in Gaza say more than 50 people have been killed at a food distribution site in Rafah. CBS's MTS Tayyab.
The United Nations has warned Gaza is now, quote, the hungriest place on earth and on the brink of famine, as starving Palestinians were again caught in deadly gunfire.
Smoke from Canadian wildfires has put all of Minnesota under an air quality alert.
You feel like something is your throat. It's a little, how would you say, like you're ready to hack something out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth.